we head into a huge summer of netball, I promised Courtside would take you closer than ever before to the England netball team as they prepare to step out and defend that historic Commonwealth gold medal. Remember, it was won in the dying seconds of the final 4 years ago. Well, it doesn't get much closer than this, because in today's edition, we're actually inside the Rosies training camp in South Africa. How cool is that? Well, I mean, they're there. I'm actually still in Manchester, but, you know, by the power of technology, I really feel like I'm there. With just weeks to go until the opening ceremony of the Games, I find out the physical and mental challenges of preparing for a big tournament. I get inside the typical training day in camp and the inside scoop on a very unusual habit. Believe you me, you want to stick around for that one. To give me the lowdown on how it's all going is a player who thrives under pressure. She made her senior international debut in 2012, then gained several caps for England until 2015 when she took a break from the international game to concentrate on training as a doctor. She was part of the 2019 squad who won bronze at the Netball World Cup in Liverpool, although her tournament was cut short by injury. And after two impressive seasons with Adelaide Thunderbirds in Australia, she came back to the UK to Team Bath and this season topped the charts with the most number of intercepts in the Super League. Have you guessed it? There's only one, Leila Guskoth, and she's poised at Stellenbosch Academy of Sport in South Africa. Leila, it's Lindsay in sunny old England. Hi.
I have heard it's sunny over there. I'm a bit jealous, to be honest. I was hoping it would rain all the time whilst we weren't there.
What's it like where you are?
It's okay. There's been sunny days and colder days, but you know, it's winter here, but it still kind of feels like our spring, so it's not too bad.
Well, I don't want to make you jealous, but yeah, it's beautiful here. We can't wait to welcome you back. Just describe what you see each morning on your way into camp.
Oh, well, we're in a really beautiful spot where there's just mountains everywhere. So the minute we leave our hotel, there's beautiful mountains in front of us, beautiful mountains behind us. The training venue's just around the corner, so we're walking everywhere, which is really nice. So yeah, it's really nice scenes. It's a little bit different to when we're going around Loughborough campus, but yeah, it's nice to be here.
So the setting is beautiful, but what about a training day? I imagine that's quite intense. Can you talk us through a training day?
They always lull you into a bit of a false sense of security when you first get off a plane and you have your first couple of days, which are a little bit steady. But now kind of our standard day, we get up about 8-ish, have breakfast, and then usually we have a court session in the morning for a couple of hours. We'll have a lunch break with maybe a meeting or something or some individual tasks, and then we'll do a weight session after lunch. And yesterday we had a bit of a nasty endurance session just tagged on the end as well. So two or three sessions a day, or if we're lucky, we just get the one, which is nice.
Sneaked an endurance test in. I like it. Yeah. Now, we've only got limited time with you today. You are really busy out there. And I understand you need to head to recovery. What on earth is that?
Yeah, so we, on our days off, they're not really days off. We don't get to just sit around and watch TV. So we'll go to the pool, or I've just had a really nice massage, which has been good. We'll go on the bike, do a few things just to kind of flush the legs out and give them a bit of recovery before we go into another mini block of training. And whilst we're over here, we're trying to replicate what Commonwealth Games looks like. So a couple of days of really hard work and then a day off, in inverted commas, where we're trying to maximise our recovery to be able to perform the day after.
And you know how intense that is, because we talk about the Super League, don't we? And you've had matches, as it were, back to back in the Super League. But yeah, a competition like the Commonwealth Games is totally different. It's so intense.
Yeah, it's so intense. And, you know, we have a bit of it at Super League with the back to back games. And we experienced it in quad as well with the, well, 4 games in 5 days, which was super intense. But I think you're right. I think Commonwealth Games, chatting to some of the other guys that have been to, I mean, some of them have been to like 6. So they certainly know what's involved. But all the pressure, the excitement and the adrenaline that goes alongside with it can be really exciting, but quite exhausting as well. So trying to practice all of our good habits now, so when we get there and we have all that additional stuff going on as well, we're well prepped.
And of course, the Netball World Cup in 2023, that is in South Africa. This is an important summer with the Comm Games. But I also looking ahead, because I think international netball runs in 4-year cycles. Is that right?
Yeah, it does. And you do think about kind of those first couple of years of a prep for these latter years with your Commonwealth Games in the third year and World Cup in the fourth year. So yeah, Commonwealth Games is going to be great, but it is nice thinking that there is a nice tournament in Cape Town the year after. And I know I played with Pumza Moweni this year, and I know the South Africans are really excited to have a tournament here in South Africa and in Cape Town. So yeah, it's a nice thing to think about in the distance, but yeah, a few big things before then for sure.
Will you see any of the South African team in this training camp? Do you have any practice games with them?
Yeah, we do. We saw them at dinner actually yesterday night, which was quite nice, bumping into some of our Super League teammates. But yeah, we play a couple of games, like friendly games against them whilst we're out here. They don't count towards like ranking points or anything like that, but they are friendly matches. So it's quite nice to get a bit of exposure to an international team before Commonwealth Games and try and iron out a few things and try a few things against them as well.
Now, here on Courtside, we love to get inside the netball stories of our elite players. And to help me do that with you, I've asked a friend for some assistance. Anna Stembridge was the England netball head coach who gave you your first international cap. And she's got a message for you.
Oh. Hi, Layla. It's Anna. Congratulations on your England selection. I've been asked to recall when I first met you. I think my first impression was what an awesome athlete you were. I suppose for me, what stood out was your natural ability to win ball, your ferocious attitude, your tenacity to match up against any opponent, no matter who they were, how many caps they had for England. And for me, that solidified your call up for your first cap in 2012 against Jamaica. And at that point, I knew that this would be the first of many. Your pursuit of excellence on and off the court is hugely inspiring and is something that has enabled you to be one of the best, if not the best, defender in the world. I know just how special this Commonwealth Games is going to be for you, playing in your home city. So just go and be magnificent and have a great tournament.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh. Anna's been amazing for me throughout my whole career, and I don't think I would have a career without her. So, yeah, all lovely words, definitely.
Can you remember that first run out in an England dress? Do you remember the court and the crowd?
Oh, I remember it so well. It was in Liverpool. I remember it because I played against Romelda Aiken, now George, who's 6 foot, I don't know, 4 or 5. And she played goal attack and usually is a goal shooter. And then Jamaica had Janelle Fowler at goal shooter. So I was there kind of running in between these massive shooters. I think I touched the ball once for the whole quarter and then came back off again. And so, I remember really thinking, oh my gosh, is this what international netball is like? I'm going to have to grow 4 inches to be able to compete. So it was a cool experience, and it certainly gave me a taste of what I wanted a lot more of.
And Anna there also talked about your tenacity against any player. And that's what I enjoy when I watch you. You go out, you go for everything. Who have been your favourite opponents?
Favourite in different ways. So I think when I look at Super League, I love playing against Rachel Dunn because it is always a really niggly contest. And I do quite enjoy that. I quite like when you both get each other a bit riled up and it gets a little bit aggy. Like, it's quite fun to play those games. I think internationally, oh gosh, there's loads of really great and difficult people to play against. The hardest person I think I played against was Maria Falau with her incredible long range shooting. And I played against her a couple of times, not too many, but I just felt like her ability to shoot from anywhere just made her such a weapon. And I always really kind of thought about how I could try and match that in that World Cup year and what I needed to do to come up against her.
And this summer, you're returning to your home city, really, where your journey began. What does it mean to go full circle and to be selected to play a Commonwealth Games in your home city?
Oh, it's amazing. It's something that I think you would never imagine that you'd be able to do within your career. And there's a few of us from the West Midlands. There's Stacey and, you know, Beth and Laura are also from there. And certainly for me, Beth and Laura, we all grew up as the same age group and played in so many sports centres around Birmingham and, you know, ran around some of the places that we're going to be playing in. So it's really nice to think that we've come full circle and that we can hopefully play and inspire some young Birmingham kids as well, like I felt inspired when I watched some of the older guys like Sonia and well, Jeeva playing when I, you know, was younger in Birmingham. So nice to think my family can be there, nice to play in my hometown, and I hope it's going to be a really good one.
And Jeeva's going to be there as well, so, you know, you can have that wonderful experience.
No, and I just called her the older one, so she's going to hate that. Sorry.
I think it's a badge of honour, if nothing else. It hasn't, though, been plain sailing for you, Leila. You played in Tracy Neville's squad at the 2019 World Cup in Liverpool, but you ruptured your Achilles in the group stages against Scotland. I remember that happening, and I have no doubt that you do as well. It was a massive loss for England. But what did you find inside yourself on that road to recovery?
Yeah, it was one of the strangest times, actually, when I think about it, because when I did my Achilles, I don't think it really sunk in. And I still was around the team for kind of the 2 weeks. And Tracy was amazing. The team were amazing and still made me feel really involved. And so I think it was after, when I got home and you're just kind of sat in the stillness and you think, oh my gosh, I've got a massive journey back to recovery now. You know, for me, I guess I've had a major injury before, and I found my Achilles a lot harder because I think I felt like I was doing well. I felt like I was improving, and it felt really unfair. But I think it's in those moments that you find kind of your resilience and you build a determination, which makes you then think when you're doing these sessions, these add-on conditioning sessions that you don't expect, you think, oh, well, I've done a lot worse and I've had to overcome a lot more to get back to this position. And it certainly made me a lot more grateful for the opportunities and kind of each individual moment. Yeah, it's a hard one when you go through these injuries, but I certainly think when you come out the end of them, you've learned a lot more about yourself. You learn a lot more about how you cope with pressure and how you cope with adversity, but also a lot more gratitude for the good times as well.
I really think we see that determination in your game as well. You know, it sort of comes through, and we know a bit about your journey, but it's brilliant to get the insight. You did make it back. You've had an amazing season with Team Bath. Anna Stembridge just described you as one of the best, if not the best defender in the world. No pressure, no pressure. We'll leave that one there. You must have great drive because you're also a doctor. Which hospital are you at the moment?
Oh, so I'm at the Royal United Hospital in Bath at the moment.
And how on earth, Leila, do you fit that in with being an elite athlete?
Yeah, it comes with its struggles and pressures. And I think I'm really lucky that I've had a really supportive employer who have sat down with me and mapped out my rota and everything to match the demands of netball. And then I've had some support from netball as well to be able to do all of that. So I've been really lucky with the people that I've met along the way that have allowed it to happen. I guess, like all things, it comes with just the determination to do it. And I think I like having both of them. I've had moments in my life where I've done all medicine and I've not found that super fulfilling in isolation. And the same with doing all netball. I quite like having a balance between the two. And I remember when I first started uni, I had a netball coach that told me I'd never be able to do it. And I had someone, one of my medical tutors, who told me I'd never be able to do it. And I'm a really competitive person. And so kind of both of those messages really made me think, no, I am going to do it and I want to do it and I want to make it work. And so it's come with a huge amount of challenges. I've missed things throughout my career in both areas that I'd have loved to be able to do, but I don't regret it. And I hope that, you know, as I look through the younger age groups now, and for example, Amy Carter's just about to qualify as a doctor and do the Roses full-time program. And there's a few girls that are a bit younger who want to do it. I think it's great that you feel that you can kind of create a pathway that allows people to be able to do both.
And what happens in a typical day? Do you put on your netball shorts and then do a training session and then go and put on your scrubs and do a full day? How does it work?
Well, I am not a morning person at all. So for most people, they'd be up at 6 a.m, but I'm a roll out of bed, get to work kind of person. And yeah, I'll often be rushing from one thing to the next, often a day of work. And then I'll be training kind of in the afternoon or evening after a shift. I've been lucky that since February I've been working part-time, so it's been a lot easier to fit in all of my training in the run-up to Commonwealth Games. When I was working full-time, it'd be a lot harder. You'd be doing kind of sessions in between night shifts and trying to fit in a run just before you went on shift at 8 p.m. or something like that. So yeah, always got a pair of trainers in the back of the car and some kit ready to go in case I need to fit that session in.
And you actually came back to the UK during the COVID pandemic, didn't you? I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing to do. What made you make that decision?
I think there was a number of reasons. I think, like, it was for me and for everybody, it was something that we'd not experienced before. And I knew for a lot of my colleagues, they were being pulled in to do additional things and having to work these really tough rotas, and that there was almost a shortage of people. And I felt like if I have the skill set to be able to contribute something, then I should really be doing it. So I was almost sat in Oz with a, not FOMO, because it wasn't like nice FOMO, but thinking I should be there and I should be contributing and, you know, working with my friends and my colleagues. And so came home and then joined kind of the team that were working on the COVID wards in Birmingham for a few months before I went back out to Australia. And I'm glad I did that. And I'm glad that I came back and worked for that period of time.
And you've talked about Australia. We've got to get this from you whilst you're on the pod. You've got that experience of playing out down under. How much homework goes into something like the Commonwealth Games? Because netball is a physical game, but it's a really mental one as well.
Yeah, so much homework. And, you know, we've got performance analysts and we've got quite a few coaches now in the squad, and then all of the experience that we've got from girls who play here and play overseas. So, you know, there's a huge amount of profiling that goes into all the teams. We want to know all their stats and what they like to do on the court so that we can try and counter it while still focusing on kind of England's strengths and what we know we can do well. So yeah, there's a lot that we need to work on from a technical kind of point of view, and then, like you say, there's a lot kind of mentally and all of the psych preparation that we do as well to go into the games and think that we can really compete.
Well, look, we know that you need to get recovery underway. So just a couple of questions real quick. We love it when you get in touch with us using the hashtag ENCourtside. Do keep an eye on the @EnglandNetball socials too, which I know that many of you do, as you've actually sent questions for the team out in South Africa. Later, I hope you're ready for these. Yeah, so these are coming. I knew you would be, to England Netball. So Niamh wants to know, do you listen to music whilst you're training as a group? And if so, who's in charge and what music do they play?
Oh, good question. So we, whilst we're actually doing the netball session, we don't. But in the gym, for our warm-up, on the bus, in the changing rooms, we have a playlist. For this tour, Jade Clark is in charge and everyone has to add songs. So there's a pretty wide range of music that's on there. You can go from kind of hardcore rap to cheesy pop. So you never know what you're going to get depending on who's put it on there. When Joe Harton's here, she likes a bit of Celine Dion. So that often features on the playlist somewhere, but it's really varied.
That's superb. And this is a good one from Libby. She says, what do you do when you're not training and not working?
Oh, right. Well, when we're on camp, we just try to recover quite a bit. So we love going to coffee shops, and Stellenbosch, where we are at the moment, has some great places to go and eat, which is genuinely pretty much what we do for the whole time that we're not training. When I'm at home, it's actually eating again. I like going out and enjoying food and seeing my friends and family, really. And, you know, I play the piano and do a bit of music stuff as well to relax and unwind when I'm not at work. And yeah, I'm not playing netball.
We did not know that.
Yeah. That doesn't leave much time, really.
I hope you get some sleep as well in there. Get those carbs, yeah, get that sleep. It's all good. Brilliant questions. Thank you so much for sending them in. Now, Layla, we know that you're the kind of player who likes to rise to the occasion and thrives on the pressure, but you ain't seen nothing yet, because it's time for everyone's favourite challenge. It's 3 seconds or less. So what you're going to have to do, and I love this because you're in a little press conference room in South Africa, is stand up, move your chair back a little bit, and we're going to give you a netball.
Right.
Keep those headphones plugged in. There's so much going on. Can you stand up? Because you've got to pass that ball around you like a hula hoop.
Okay.
Okay, super. So I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions, and I'd like whatever comes into your brain first. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Layla Guskoth, please answer in 3 seconds or less whilst passing a netball around your body like a hula hoop. What is the best netball position?
Goal defence.
Do you have a nickname?
Bambi.
Nice. What is your song for the shower?
Oh, that's really hard. I've got to name 3 seconds. Thames. Yeah, probably anything with Thames.
What's your worst habit?
I sleep talk.
Do you? What kind of things do you say?
Well, Laura Malcolm once told me that I stood up and said I had a machete, but I don't believe that that's actually what I did say.
Okay, there's something going on there. What's your favourite book?
I like anything by Beth O'Leary.
Lovely. Role model?
My dad.
Oh, what is your hospital drama of choice?
Oh, Grey's Anatomy.
You see, I was thinking she'll say Scrubs or Grey's Anatomy. Nice. What is your favourite season of the year?
Summer.
Outstanding netball memory?
Netball World Cup.
Oh, and what don't we know about Leila Guskov?
I play the piano and I play the flute.
Beautiful. And the final one, the big one, is it scone or scone?
Scone.
Scone. I'm a sconey, you see. There you go. There you go. Natalie Metcalf was a scone as well. Well done. Take a rest. Bit of extra training for you there, Leila Guskov. Take a seat. You need to get to recovery. I know that. Thank you so much for talking to me on Courtside. It's been wonderful.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Lindsay.
So good to hear from Leila, isn't it? And if you want to see more of what her and the rest of the team are up to in South Africa, then head over to England Netball's social media channels. There's loads of behind-the-scenes footage and pictures. I had a right good snoop. It's fascinating. And you'll get to see a great video of Serena Guthrie and Beth Cobden talking about the Commonwealth Games. That match and that moment on the Gold Coast, it had me in goosebumps from the word go. Well, there you go. Leila's gone off to recovery. Really fascinating to hear about juggling life as an elite netballer and also as a doctor. And also to find out about the sleep talking thing. That's worrying. Anyway, after South Africa, the England squad continue their preparations with a number of training camps and practice matches back here in the UK. Those players that have also been finishing their season out in Australia, so your Jeeva Mentors, your Helen Housbys, will also return to the fold as Jess Thilby makes preparations for the team to make their mark on the world of netball. And of course, you can make your mark as well by letting me know your great netball stories. And if you've got plans to get behind the sport this special summer, let me know those as well. Give the pod a follow. Check out England Netball on socials, and you can always get in touch with me using the hashtag ENCourtside. Can't wait to see you next time on the pod when I'm getting the final word from camp before the team make their way to Birmingham for the start of the Commonwealth Games. Oh, it's so exciting. I promise you one thing, we'll be right back in the thick of it on Courtside.